Friday we have a sports night, that's 5th of September, and Saturday, 6th of September is the doctor's panel. And also Saturday during the daytime, we have wudu and salat classes. That's during the daytime from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on both Saturday, 6th of September and 7th of September. So please join us for these programs Saturday during the daytime, Saturday, Sunday, 6th and 7th during the daytime, and in the evening, Friday, September 5th and September 6th, there's a sports night and the doctor's panel, inshallah. Starting today, all the way through Monday to Thursday, we're just going to have English and Arabic program. And on the weekends, which is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we will have Urdu, Arabic, English, and Farsi programs, inshallah. So, sallallahu Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And we will break up right now. And also, thank you, Brother Muzaffar. We have brothers that have come forward and set up that the babysitting area or the kids area that used to be there. They have set up Islamic poetries and puppet show for ages 5 to 10, actually. So if you have kids, you can take it over there. The brothers have come forward and put in a lot of effort for that. And that program will run all the way through the month of Ramadan. So you can take your kids over there. And we'll break up now. We will break up now. Going to English program will be over here. Arabic program will be in the Arabic hall down low. Sallallahu Muhammad wa alayhi Muhammad. Brothers, one more announcement. We have found a cell phone. I will not give up the name and the model, so whoever comes in and identifies it correctly before looking at it, I'll give it to them.
ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم. So brothers, please come forward with the recitation of salawat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. العلي العظيم. أفوز أمري إلى الله والله بصير بالعباد. الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحيات الكرام على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والشهداء والصالحين والصديقين وعلى خير خلقه البشير النذير السراج المنير أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين المنتجبين الغيامين ولعن ظلمنا أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه تبارك وتعالى في كتاب الحديث في كتابه وهو أصدق الحديث بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال مولانا امام زين العابدين عليه السلام اللهم اجعل صيامي فيه صيام الصائمين وقيامي فيه قيام القائمين ونبهني فيه عن نومة الغافلين وهب لي كرمي فيه يا اله العالمين واعف عني يا عافيا عن المجرمين صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات. Brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, month is great, month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us strength and tawfiq to achieve the highest rank of the Surah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, and to have his strength and tawfiq to fulfill our duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, and to obtain all the ni'mat and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially the ni'mat of being closer and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is qurb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please start the salawat. Since we are in the month of Ramadan and one of the best a'mal and deed of this month is to recite the salawat by Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, please recite the salawat. Brothers and sisters, before I begin with about the month of Ramadan and the fasting, there is a beautiful dua from our Holy Prophet in the first night of the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak. Holy Prophet, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the great companions of the Prophet, he narrates, he extends his hand on the first night of the month of Ramadan towards heavens, and he was crying to the point that those who were around Holy Prophet, they noticed that Holy Prophet, his tears is coming down, and around Holy Prophet was the sign of witness because of the tears of the Prophet. And then Holy Prophet started with this beautiful sentence, Allahumma, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hadha shahr Ramadan. This is the month called month of Ramadan. As all of you know that one of the meaning of Ramadan is the filter. Ramadan is a filter. So this night we should sit in that filter and are to be covered by the special mercy and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. هذا شهر رمضان والله سبحانه وتعالى والله this is the month called رمضان الذي قل أنزلت فيه القرآن and in this month you have been you revealed the Quran. The attribute of Quran is هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. This Quran is a guidance for all human beings, وَبَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْهُدَىٰ, and clear evidence for the guidance, والفرقان, and a book of distinguish between right and wrong. And then Holy Prophet continues with this beautiful sentence, وَهَذَا شَهْرُ الصِّيَامِ, وَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ, this is the month of fasting. وَهَذَا شَهْرُ الْقِيَامِ, this is the month of action. Not only fasting, this is the month of action. وَهَذَا شَهْرُ الْإِنَابَةِ, this is the month on which we can reach to our wishes. وَهَذَا شَهْرُ التَّوْبَةِ, this is the month of repentance. تَوْبَةِ. وَهَذَا شَهْرُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ, this is the month of forgiveness. وَالرَّحْمَةِ, the month of mercy and blessings. وَهَذَا شَهْرُ الْمَغْفِرَةِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ وَهَذَا شَهْرُ الْعَتْقِ مِنَ النَّارِ, this is the month on which you free the special servant from hellfire. وَالْفَوْزَ بِالْجَنَّةِ, this is the month on which we can write our own destiny with our own hand to be elevated to the highest rank of the paradise. فَوْزُ بِالْجَنَّةِ, so we should not wait till the night of Qadr on which angels and malaik derive a destiny on our behalf. What Holy Prophet teaching us on the first night is, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the month on which I can reach to the highest rank and I can myself, I can write my destiny. وَهَذَا شَهْرٌ فِيهِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ, O Allah, Indeed, this is the month on which there is a night of Qadr. التي هي خير من ألف شهر, which is better than 1,000 months, which is 97 plus years. And then this beautiful dua goes with this beautiful sentence. Allahumma ja'al, so therefore, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma ja'al siyami fiha siyam as-sa'imin. Make my fast, or accept my fast, as a fast of those who fasted truly. وَقِيَامِ فِيهِ قِيَامَ الْقَائِمِينَ. My action, my service, my dedication, my devotion towards you, accept as the action, dedication, devotion of those who did sincerely. وَنَبِّهْنِي فِيهِ عَنْ نَوْمَةِ الْغَافِلِينَ. And awake me from forgetfulness, the state of forgetfulness. عَنْ نَوْمَةِ الْغَافِلِينَ وَحَبْلِي جُرْنِي فِيهِ يَا إِلَهَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I came to you, since I came to you, I extend my hands towards you. The first night of the month of Ramadan, accept me. And the dua goes and goes. Brothers and sisters, the message of Holy Prophet on this first night of the month of Ramadan is clear. We came here to demonstrate our collective service to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why we are doing, we should ponder, we should think, we should immerse in these beautiful du'as, supplications, once we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the prayers. We have to be in the state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is here, I'm standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the day of judgment. This is the month, is the month on which we can obtain all these beauty, ni'mat and rahmat. That's why our ulama and scholars, they describe that fasting has a four different levels. The first level of the fasting is obviously that we should avoid from eating, drinking, and of course, like self-satisfaction or masturbation, and so on, with those things which is haram during the, you know, fasting or during the fast day time, which is 9 or 11 or 12, you know, different categories you can have them. If someone can observe fasting with the minimum requirement for our fast, that calls a Sawm al-Aam, the one who fasted as a general fasting. That's the general fasting. Although it's very important that sometimes may be stuck in first level. How? One of the muharramat of the fasting is we cannot accuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or 14 ma'asimeen or 4,000 prophets. I cannot make a statement that this is the saying of Prophet Musa, Isa, or Holy Prophet, or Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, the Fathers of Rasulullah, and so on and so forth. We cannot. So once we make a statement out of some kind of ignorance or excitement or whatever you can call that, that moment or fast, even the first level of the fast is going to be batil. You are no longer fasting. So it's very important to acquire the knowledge of what is the basic or first level of the fast, which our ulama refers from or describes from the ahadith and the riwayat of Holy Prophet. The second type of the fast, obviously, is the fast of the khas, the special group of people who can obtain this fast, who can observe this fast. What is that? That's not only avoiding from eating and drinking during the daytime, or what the Muharramat, so-called Muharramat mentioned. More than that, meaning we should not engage in that begging, slander, accusation to each other, and our fast should be not only by pen, our fast should be from whole our body. Each and every part of our body should feel that I'm a fasting today. So our day of fast should be totally different than the first day of not fast. So it should be clear that today I'm fasting. Sighting, what I see, what I hear, what I write, what I read, what I think, what I, you know, every and each part of our body, from mind to eyes to, you know, every and each part of our body, once we able to observe that type of fast called the Sawmul Khas. The first is the general fasting. The second one is the special group of the fast, those who, you know, obtain that one. This is not easy. Why? Because we have a habitual of accusation, entertainment for, you know, backbiting, and just going around and saying bad words, or using some time, you know, bad words, and so on and so forth. It's not easy. For example, if you're in job, maybe during the month, other than the month of Ramadan, sometimes you're forced to shake hands here or there, but during the fast time, it's more. Why? Because it's a beautiful practice. And same thing for our sisters, that maybe some other days, or other than the month of Ramadan, sometimes they don't observe the hijab, but especially month of Ramadan, during the fasting time, we should observe. So our whole part of our body should see that, and in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm fasting. So once we have this beautiful exercise of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 30 days, we can continue for the rest of our life. As I mentioned before also, for example, if those who are smokers or sometimes chain smokers, if they can able to prevent themselves from smoking during the daytime, fasting time, they can extend that for the rest of their life. They can quit easily. No need to go, for example, take some pills or here or there and spend the money, energy. What all really require and need is your will. If you have a strong will, you can. Why? Because once you're able to fast, once you're able to control yourself during that beautiful time of dawn to dusk, which is the time for the fasting, you can continue that rest of your life. It's not very difficult. That's called the second type of fast. The third is called the khasul khas, the especially very special fasting. What is a special fasting? A special fasting is you have to observe the first level, then second level. On top of that, you should be aware that you are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and really you have taken a step towards the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our beloved Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, he has a beautiful explanation for this third level of the fasting, is every and each moment of the fasting should be the progress, not day, not month, no. Every and each moment of your fast should have some evelation or kind of, you know, you are getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So end of the day, that's why Ahadith and Riwayat refers that there is two beautiful times for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is once we break the fast. Why? The time of breaking the fast, you are in the highest rank you can imagine, you can think of, you can reach that point. And you are in that high rank and level. So once you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma laka sumtu wa ala rizqika aftartu wa alayka tawakkaltu, once you say this, not you, whole your body, your soul, every each part of your existence is with you. So Allahumma laka sumtu. At that time we can say, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I fast it for you, only you and you, nothing else. Laka sumtu, the siyam. Allama Tabatabai has a beautiful story from his teacher, Allama Qadi Tabatabai, you know, is an arif and a great scholar. His teacher, Qadi Tabatabai, he narrates to Tabatabai that he went to his teacher, and teacher of the Tabatabai, and he said, please give me some specific dua, prayer, supplication, description. I can have all these ni'mat and rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can make intention and that should be there. Why? Because I can possess, I can be a manifestation of the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why not? I want to. So his teacher gave him this paragraph of the prayer of Imam Zaman, which is you have to recite 100 times, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Once you start, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maliki yawmid din, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. 100 times. Recite Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in, and then continue. And he sang, he started to reading this recitation of this surah, says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. He felt that he has a mi'raj. And once he said, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين, then he just he paused for a few moments and he thought that, do really I worship only God, Allah, and do I really seek help only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or I'm lying? Second time, third time, astaghfirullah, I cannot lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times. And but I'm not. Why should I lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times? And then he prayed the prayer, came to his teacher, said, please tell me something which I can. So this is the key for your, you know, successfulness. This is the key for all the rents which you're looking for. Said, I cannot. So why? Because once I started to say, Iyyaka na'budu, I cannot because I'm lying to God. I don't want to lie. This is the best feeling ever you can have. Keep continuing that, ponder and think, and reach that you worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once you're in that level, you're successful. Sometimes we think or we, you know, expect that I should have a big fat dua, which is magic dua, kind of magic stick. We don't have such a magic stick. No. Islam is all about reality. It's not fake. It's not something you make up. So once you reach the reality, that's very important. So once you say, Allahumma laka sumtu, ponder and think that, do you fast it only for God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wa ala rizqika aftartu, and do you breaking the fast from the risk of Allah, halal risk, or the risk of shaitan? a risk of something which is not lying to you. وَعَلَىٰ رِزْقِكَ افْتَرْتُ وَعَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْتُ And I rely on you. Do we really rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These are the three sentences during the time of breaking the fast is enough for the rest of the life. I fasted for Allah. I break my fast from the rest of Allah. And I rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can reach the reality of these three sentences, that can be a successful point for all of us. So this third level of the fasting is not only you follow the first or second level, the top of that, meaning you should feel it. You should have an in-depth recognition, ma'rifat, what you do, what you say, how you walk, every and each action of your life should be in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the third type of the fast. And the fourth one is Sawmul Khalis. The pure fast. These are the three is relatively, meaning compared to something. You have something and you're comparing to something. The fourth one is you don't have anything to compare. It's a pure fast. What is the fast? What it is? It is. This is the fast. What is that? Our Holy Prophet said, the Sawmul Khalis, the pure fast is that you feel that in the presence of Allah and Allah is worthy of, you know, praise and every, you know, all the beauties and you are doing your responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have no expectation whatsoever. You know, sometimes we also recite in the prayers, إِلَهِ هَذِهِ صَلَاتِي صَلَّيْتُهَا لَا لِحَاجَةٍ مِنْكَ إِلَيْهَا وَلَا رَغْبَةٍ What is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the prayer I offer to you, this is the service I offer to you. I don't have any dua, any need in the return from you. Nothing. I don't expect anything. What I did is because you're worthy of this. Because you deserve to be worshipped. And I did. So if you reach that point that you observe you follow the first one and second one and third one. Once you did that, you reach this point that nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that time, you don't blame to God or the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the angels and malaikas, oh why this should not happen? Why I'm in dua is not happening? Come on. Why is not happening? Well, because we are in the state of test, ibtila. And Imam al-Husayn, the one who is able to reach the highest man, he himself, he has to sacrifice everything in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to achieve those ni'mat and rahmat. So kama turinu tudan. If you sacrifice yourself, if you kind of finish the ana, the I, our mind, me, if you erase that, if you demolish that I, me, like my whatever, and you reach to Allah. Allah, Allah. If you reach that point, that's called Sawmul Khalis. So, for the Sawmul Khalis, there is a beautiful, instruction. The instruction is from the time when you wake up for the Sahri, you want to have some breakfast or sahri for your lifetime. That's a beautiful time which is najwa between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that moment. And Ahadith al-Riwayah says that Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Holy Prophet, he used to wake all other people, even the sick people, even those who are not eligible to be fast, even the children, wake them up and sit on the sofa and offer your sincere service to Allah, that, oh Allah, I'm doing this to obey you. This is a, you know, khalis, pure service towards you. And I rely upon you. And everything, my ahli wa maali wa waladi wa salati wa nusati wa mahyaya wa mawati lillahi, everything, whatever I can think of, my nieces, my children, my home, my wealth, my health, everything is for you. My dad, you say that one and you eat something. It's mustahab. And the amount of ahadith and reward which we have about the sahri, to eat something, you know, before the, Salatul Subh, you know, before the dawn, the amount of ahadith and reward, we don't have equal ahadith and riwayat for breaking the fast. Can you imagine that? Although breaking the fast is very important, and we demonstrate everything, and we have a delicious food and all those, but for the sahri, it's very important. And that's why ahadith and riwayat emphasize that those who are in journey, they should not fast. And let's, this also I should mention that a lot of people say, okay, doctor told you that you cannot fast because of age or because of whatever. And I know that if I fast, I'm getting worse. If you're in that state, you should not fast. It's haram. Not only you're just doing something to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, you're committing a sin. For instance, why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excuse us from fasting if we are in that stage. May some of us will think that, oh, if I'm, you know, I observe the fast, or if I keep the fasting, even with all the difficulties, with the pride of my health, I'm serving better Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Indeed, first of all, your fasting is not acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, you are sinning before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is clear. But this doesn't mean that there is some difficulties. You know, if you don't drink and eat for, you know, from dusk to dawn or dawn to dusk, it's going to be difficult. It's not easy though. So don't think about it because I feel more thirsty or hungerness or something, I can drink first. No. It's not like that. If threatening for the life or the health or for the future of your health and so on. It's a, you know, specific guideline, and maybe doctor also, they can guide you for that moment. Anyhow, so even those people who are not eligible, they should not fast, if they wake up morning time and sit, they can obtain the reward of the fast of those who fasted, khalis fast. So alhamdulillah, there's like a lot of ways to have or to obtain the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sawmul Khas, brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, we are in the first night of month of Ramadan, and it's a great, you know, pleasure and privilege for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us that He gave us this great opportunity to be here and to demonstrate our faith and to learn something. So once we walk out from here, we should have in our mind that I don't want to go in first level or second level or third level. I should be fasting those like the fasted as a khalis, pure fasting. Not the first level, not the second level, neither third level. I should, or we should, fast as a fast of khalis. Brothers and sisters, Allahu Akbar, as we are in the month of Ramadan al-Mubarak, we have a beautiful sermon from our noble lady, great lady, the Fatima Rasulullah alayha. She, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, she delivered a beautiful sermon in Masjid Nabi, and then she described the position of the fasting. She said, ما يصنع الصائم بصيامه إذا لم يصم لسانه وسمعه وبصره وجوارحه. There is no need of having a fast if you are not fasting wholeheartedly with all your body. Again, our noble lady of Islam is not, you know, giving you check that if you are not observing the second, third or fourth level of the fasting, you should not fast the first level. No. It's for the partners. And then she described the philosophy of the fasting. And she said, فَرَضَ اللَّهُ الصِّيَامُ تَثْبِيتًا لِلْإِخْلَاصِ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligated upon us the fasting is because تَثْبِيتًا, تَثْبِيت meaning to emphasize, not emphasize, to establish, تَثْبِيتًا لِلْإِخْلَاصِ, to establish within ourselves the pure meaning of ikhlas. It's, you know, good that we started, we have to start the month of fasting with the remembrance of the household of the Prophet. Why? Because they are the ones who are the true leaders, guiders, and true hadi lights to lead us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they know, as Quran also emphasized that الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, they have all the knowledge and means in order to lead us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to go to their houses. Tonight is dedicated for, you know, one of the beloved sister, Layla Abedin, who passed a few years ago, the month of Ramadan, and also Muhammad Sulaiman Khani, a youth or young boy who got killed in the incident. So this also is kind of remind, kind of zikr and tadakkur of all of us, to ponder ourselves, to express our gratitude towards the marhumin. It's a good practice that we start the month of fasting with the remembrance of the marhumin in order to relate ourselves to the marhumin. Who had the idea in our mind that we're going to approach this month without our president, Brother Waqid Hussain? In one instance, he can be taken away from us. Who knows, next year we're going to be able to attend and achieve the highest rank of the Son of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes some of us may we think or have a dua that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me death so I can die. Why? Because I can have. Sometimes we think because of, you know, a lot of difficulties that can lead. What Ahadith and Riwayah says, in the presence of Holy Prophet, one of the companions of Holy Prophet, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me death so I can be free. I can have, like, free from this worldly thing. Holy Prophet said, wayhak, to you. Do you know what you are asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Angels and malaik, among them Ruhul Amin and Jibreel, they are wishing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them a chance to be on the earth and to demonstrate their faith and to practice the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willingly and to have more ranks. It's a very easy thing. So Alhamdulillah, 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 we have this opportunity this year, at least for now, to begin this month of Ramadan. And while we are doing, we should make intention and niyat for whole month of Ramadan. No matter, sometimes, I don't know if I'm going to be alive tomorrow or not, I'm going to be okay or not, my health, I don't know if I'm going to have an awesome journey. Don't worry about all those. Make intention for the rest of 1 month. Once you do, not only during the daytime, which covers by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and every each of your actions is going to count as a, you are in the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whole month of Ramadan, all the way from this night to the end of the month of Ramadan. And if, God forbid, or no, I don't know the, if God's will is there, if I or we die, still, we are going to receive all the ni'mat and rahmat and great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful intention which we may despise. So it's very easy. So brothers and sisters, the about noble lady of Islam, Holy Prophet has a beautiful hadith, Abdullah bin Umar, the son of second Khalifa, he narrates that my father, which is the second Khalifa, Umar, he was with the Holy Prophet in the Masjid Nabi, and Holy Prophet, he was describing the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the top ranks of the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And among them, Hanzala, which is Ghafir al-Malaika, Hanzala, we know, Alafas. He was the one who washed by Malaik and angels after his death. And Holy Prophet, he himself attended his burial. And he said, who are Ghafir al-Malaika? He's the one who washed by angels and Malaik. Meaning angels and Malaik, they gave him ghusl. Ghafir al-Malaika. He asked the Holy Prophet, do I look for that? May my life be sacrificed to you. Holy Prophet, tell me what is the easiest way I can reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all my efforts, maybe I'm not going to be able. Keep in mind that Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar, directly from his father, and he is from Holy Prophet, and he attended that. So there should be no single child. And Holy Prophet, he turned his face towards the door of Bibi Fatima al-Zahra, salamu alayha. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And he said, Allah, oh, who you attend? You know what is this door? This door is belong to whom? Everyone says, Naam, Bala ya Rasulullah, yes, Holy Prophet. All of us, we know that this is the door of Ali. Said, no, this is not the door of Ali. Then people said, then this door is belong to whom? Holy Prophet said, this is the door of my daughter, Bada'atun minni, my part of mission, Fatima. Once Holy Prophet said, this is the door of Fatima, you know, the Hanzala, he said, Holy Prophet, what is the difference between Fatima and Ali? They are, you know, husband and wife. Holy Prophet said, no. Inna Allah Barak wa Ta'ala, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a special door for my daughter Fatima. Those who ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the intercession of Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamu alayha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever refuse your du'as. So oh Hanzala, if you want to have the easiest way, go and grab this door and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma bihaqqi hadha al-bab, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with this door. You see, Holy Prophet did not say that bihaqqi Fatima, no, bihaqqi hadha al-bab, with this door. Yassir umuri, وَلَا تُعَسِّرْ ولا تؤاخر. Make my life, my every, you know, step of a life easy. And don't make my life miserable or difficult. ولا تؤخر. ولا تؤاخر. And don't hold me for my mistakes, my shortcomings, my sin, whatever I do. Why? Because I came to the door of Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. At that time, Hanzala, he stood up. Not because Hanzala, he knows, and he has a great heart and sincere heart, and he knows what Holy Prophet said. He went to the door of Bibi Fatima al-Zahra salamu alayhi. Once he went, Holy Prophet was following him. And then Holy Prophet said, "Oh Hanzala, you want to know what's going to happen to this door?" Hanzala said, "No, Holy Prophet, you don't know what's going to happen, because the, you know, type of significance you describe, I cannot imagine that anything can happen to this door. I cannot imagine. میں سوچ بھی نہیں سکتا کہ کچھ اس دروازے پر ہوگا." اور پرافٹ یا رسول اللہ فرمانے لگے، یا حنزلہ، ایک دن آئے گا جس میں اسی در کو جلا دیا جائے گا، اور جلتا ہوا در جب اس بیوی پر گرے گا اور بیوی آواز دیں گی اور وہ آواز آسمانوں کے کمروں کو ہلائے گی، اس وقت زمین اور آسمان کے تمام تمام موجودات لرز جائیں گے. اس وقت خدا مثال عذاب نازل کرنے والا ہوگا، لیکن اسی وقت میرا خلیفہ، میرا وسیع، میرا بھائی علی آئے گا، اور وہ آ کر میری بیوی سے درخواست کرے گا کہ بیوی، یہ وقت بد دعا کر رہی ہے، دعا فرمائی. اور جس وقت میری بیٹی دعا فرمائیں گی، خدا متعال تمام غموں کو، تمام بلاؤں کو میری امت سے رفع کر دے گا. بہرحال عزیزان، ماہ مبارک رمضان کی پہلی شب ہے، اور آئے ہیں درِ رتِ صحرا شکستہ دلی کے ساتھ. اب بہرحال کھلے امام کی منصوب ہے، جو شخص اپنے روزوں کو اور اپنی عبادتوں کو شروع کرے گا، میری جد حضرت زہرا کی مصیبت سے اور ان کی مشکلات کو بیان کرنے سے خدا تعالی ہماری تمام مشکلات کو اور تمام مصیبت و بلاؤں کو ٹال دے گا. چنانچہ ہم آئے ہیں اسی در پہ، خدا پاک الہ اے رب جلیل، اے رب عظیم، اے رب کریم، اے رب رحیم، پکڑ جگہ الہ پالنے والے، ہم آئے ہیں تیری بارگاہ میں. اے خدا، جن ہاتھوں کو تیری طرف ہم بلند کیے ہیں ان ہاتھوں کو خالی نہ لگتا ہوں. خدا پکڑ جگہ الہ اے رب جلیل، اے رب عظیم، اے رب کریم، گناہ کبیرہ اور صغیرہ سے بچنے کی توفیق عنایت فرماؤ. اے خدا پکڑ جگہ الہ اس عظیم مہینے میں عظیم برکتوں، رحمتوں، غفران اور رضوان پر ہم سب پر تمام نعمتیں اور رحمتیں نازل فرماؤ، اور ہم سب کو اور ہماری اولاد کو ان لوگوں میں سے محصول فرما جو کہ قیامت میں جیسے خدا و تعالیٰ اے خدا تو جیسے پکارے گا، اے الصائمین کہاں ہیں، خالص روزے دارو، ہم سب اس گروہ میں شامل ہو سکیں. اے خدا پاک جلالہ الہ اے رب جلیل، رب حبیب، اے رب کریم، ہمارے آقا، ہمارے بلائے والدہ کی حضور میں تعجیل فرما، اور ہم سب کو ان کی آوان و انصار میں شمار فرما. بالنبی والے تمام رحمین کے لیے، بالاخص لیلہ عابدین، محمد سلیمان خانی، الفاتحۃ مع الصلوات. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ، السلام علیکم رسول اللہ، السلام علیکم وعلیٰ صدیق وابیک وعلیٰ امیت واخیق رحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. السلام علیکم غریب الغربا، السلام علیکم معین الضفت الفقراء، سلطان الحسن علید وصلاء ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. السلام علیکم صاحب الزمن، السلام علیکم خلیفۃ الرحمن، السلام علیکم شریف القرآن، السلام علیکم کلیم الاسلام، علمان علمان نفسی الزمان، عجل اللہ تعالیٰ فضلك وشان اللہ مخلق الغورت وجعلنا من اعوانكم وانصارك ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ.
من الأولين والآخرين آمين رب العالمين صلى الله عليه وسلم. نبينا في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين في موضع الكبرياء والعظمة. اللهم أذنت لي في دعائك ومسألتك فاسمع يا سميع مدحتي وأجب يا رحيم دعوتي وأقل يا غفور عثرتي. فكم يا إلهي من كربة قد فرجتها وهموم قد كشفتها وعثرة قد أقلتها ورحمة قد نشرتها وحلقة بلاء قد سكتها. الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في المن ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا. الحمد لله بجميع محامده كلها على جميع نعمه كلها. الحمد لله الذي لا مضاد له في ملكه ولا منازع له في أمره. الحمد لله الذي لا شريك له في خلقه ولا شبيه له في عظمته. الحمد لله الفاشي في الخلق أمره وحمده الظاهر بالكرم مجده الباسط بالجود يده الذي تنقش خزائنه الذي لا تنقص خزائنه ولا تزيده كثرة العطاء إلا جودا وكرما إنه هو العزيز الوهاب. اللهم إني أسألك قليلا من كثير مع حاجة بي إليه عظيما وغناك عنه قديم وهو عندي كثير وهو عليك سهل يسير. اللهم إن عفوك عن ذنبي وتجاوزك عن خطيئتي وصفحك عن ظلمي وسترك على قبيح عملي وحلك عن كثير جرمي عندما كان من خطاي وعندي. أطمعني في أن أسألك ما لا أستوجبه من الذي رزقتني من رحمتك وأريتني من قدرتك وعرفتني من إجابتك فصرت أدعوك على الله وأسألك مستأنسا لا خائفا ولا وجلا مجلا عليك فيما قصدت فيه إليك. فإن أطلعني عتبت بجهلي عليك ولعل الذي أبطأ عني هو خير لي لعلمك بعاقبة الأمور. فلم أرى مولا كريما أصبر على عبد لئيم منك علي يا رب إنك تدعوني فأولي عنك وتتحببوا إليها فأتبغضوا إليك وتتوددوا إليها فلا أقبل منك كأن لم تطول عليك فلم يمنعك ذلك من رحمتي والإحسان إليك والتفضل علي بجودك وكرمك فارحم عبدك الجاهل واجد عليه بفضل إحسانك إنك جواد كريم. صلوات الحمد لله مالك الملك مجر الفول مسخر الرياض صالح الاسباب تيان الدين رب العالمين الحمد لله على علمه بعد علمه والحمد لله على أفضه بعد قدرته والحمد لله على طول عناصه في غضبه وهو قادر على ما يريد الحمد لله خالق الخلق باسط الرزق خالق الأسباب ذي الجلال والإكرام والفضل والإنعام الذي بعد فلا يرام وقرب فشهد النجوى تبارك وتعالى الحمد لله الذي ليس له منازع يدله ولا شبيه يشاكله ولا زهير يازده قهر بعزة العظام وتواضع لعظمة العظماء فبلغ بقدرته ما يشاء الحمد لله الذي يجيبني لأولادي ويستر علي كل أورة وأنا أصيب ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازي فكم من موهبة غنية قد أعطاني وهزيمة مخوفة قد كفاني وبهجة مونقة قد أراني فأثني عليه حامدا واذكره مسبحا الحمد لله الذي لا يهتك حجابه ولا يغلق بابه ولا يرد سائله ولا يخيب عامله الحمد لله الذي يؤمن الخائفين وينجي الصالحين ويرفع المستضعفين ويدع المستكبرين ويهلك ملوكا ويستخلف آخرين والحمد لله قاسم الجبارين مدير الظالمين مدرك الهاربين نكال الظالمين صريخ المستصرخين موضع حاجات الطالبين معتمد المؤمنين الحمد لله الذي من خشيته ترعد السماء وسكانها وترجف الأرض وأمارها وتموج البغار ومن يسبح في زمراتهم الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله الذي يخلق ولم يخلق ويرزق ولا يرزق ويصوم ولا يصام ويميت الأحياء ويحيي الموتى فهو حي لا يموت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وأمينك وصفيك وحبيبك وخيرتك من خلقك وحافظ سرك ومبلغ رسالاتك أفضل وأحسن وأجمل وأكمل وأزكى وأنمى وأطيب وأطهر وأسمى وأكثر ما صليت وبارك وكرمت وتغننت وسلمت على أحد من عبادك وأنبيائك ورسلك وصفوتك وأهل الكرامة عليك من خلقك. اللهم صل على علي الأمير المؤمنين ووصي رسول رب العالمين عبدك ووليك وأخي رسولك ووجتك على خلقك وآيتك الكبرى والنبع العظيم وصل على الصديقة الطاهرة فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين وصل على سبتي الرحمة وإمام الهدى الحسن والحسين سيد شباب أهل الجنة وصل على أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهود المهدي حجتك على عبادك وملائك في بلادك صلاة كثيرة دائما. اللهم وصل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر فوفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعله الداعي إلى كتابك والقائم بدينك استخلفه في العهد كما استخلفت الذين من قبله مكن له دينه الذي ارتديته له ابدله من بعد خوفي عنا يعبدك لا يشرك بك شيئا. اللهم أعزه وأعزز به وانصره وانتصر به وانصره نصرا عزيزا وافتح له فتحا يسيرا واجعل له من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. اللهم أظهر به دينك وسنة نبيك حتى لا يستخفي بشيء من الحق مخافة أحد من الخير. اللهم إلا نرغب إليك في دولة كريمة تعز بها الإسلام بأهلك وتذل بها النفاق بأهلك وتجعلنا فيها من الدعاة إلى طاعتك والقادة إلى سبيلك وترزقنا بها كرامة الدنيا والآخرة. اللهم ما عرفتنا من الحق فحملنا وما قصرنا عنه فبلغنا. اللهم المن به شعثنا فشعب به سدعنا وارتغ به فتقنا وكسر به ذلتنا وعزز به ذلتنا واغن به عائلنا واغذ به عن مغرمنا واجبر به فقرنا وشد به خلتنا ويسر به يسرنا وبيض به وجوهنا وفك به أسرنا وأنجز به كربتنا وأنجز به مواعيدنا واستجب به دعوتنا وآتنا به سؤلنا وبلغنا به من الدنيا والآخرة آمالنا وآتنا به فوق رغبتنا يا خير المسؤولين وأوسى المؤتين اشتبه صدورنا واذهب به كيد قلوبنا واهدنا به لما اختلف فيه من الحق بإذنك إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم وانصرنا به على عدوك وعدونا إلى الغد آمين. اللهم إنا نشكو إليك فقد نبينا صلواتك عليه وآله وبيضة ولينا وكثرة عدونا وقلة عددنا وشدة الفتن بنا وتظاهر الزمان علينا. فصل على محمد وآله وإنا على ذلك بفضل منك تؤجل وبذر تكشف ونسر تهز وسلطان حق تظهر ضعيف بتانم باخر اجنسين روزای ماه رمضان می گذرد و رحمت من که تجلل و نامات و عافیت من که تلبسنا برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين. صلوات.
اللهم إنا نسأل العوض باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم يا الله. برأي شفاية مرضى إسلام مريزي مخصوص مريزي مخصوص بالأخص فردوز وآسر دعاء استشالي أحمدي فاطمة فايتان تيز سايد فاطمة أما يجيب. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعا أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه 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 ويكشف السوء. اللهم انزل علينا بركاتك ورحماتك وغفرانك ورضوانك. اللهم تقبل منا إنك السميع العليم. اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره إلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات بالأخص مرحومين of them بالأخص of those who sponsor tonight الفاء فردي المرحومين الفاتحة مع الصلوات. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah, in 2 minutes we're going to have an adhan. I would like to mention a few ahkam, especially for the ahkam of Jamaat. Again, repeatedly a lot of brothers and sisters are asking about this ahkam, especially for those who are standing in the first line. Please, those who are standing in the first line, whether it's from sister's side or brother's side, they're going to be a connector to all other people as a jama'at. So, a lot of people, they come from near and far to enshrine and enjoy the jama'at prayer and to have the reward of the salat al-jama'ah. So in that case, those who are standing, please, after the imam or the person leading the jama'ah says, Allahu Akbar, they should say Allahu Akbar. So, that's why it's makruh for those who have a little bit, you know, kind of doubts or shak in order to pronounce the Allahu Akbar. You know, some people say Allah, Allah, Allahu Akbar 10, 15 times. It's makruh to stand in first line. Why? Because, you know, the other people's prayers into affect it. That's why it's important that the moment Jamaat has been started, all those people, they have to say takbir first. And also, those who are standing a little bit far from the person's leading, they should make sure that the person who is connecting to them, he or she did takbir. So, for example, here, Brother Mu'in is standing here. In order to, Mu'in says, Allahu Akbar, he should know that Brother Aziz and Brother Naqvi, they did takbir in order to, he, you know, say takbir. So, and onwards like that. And also from sister's side, those who are standing in first line, please make sure that the person who's connecting you, he or she said takbir, and then they can say takbir. By that, inshallah, we can have a better jama'at prayer. And also for those who are standing in second, third, fourth line, the sooner is better. Once they know that the person who is connecting them, he said takbir, they should say takbir, so all other people who are standing in the hand, they can also say takbir. And also, in between the jama'at prayer, it should not be any gap, even one person. It's makruh. According to hadith and riwayat, it's makruh that you should have any type of gap between the jama'ah. The meaning of jama'ah is together and want to offer this prayer and this salat as a jama'ah. So it should not be any gap in between. So I mean, the closer is the better, inshallah. Bar Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, salawat.
من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولله الحمد. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين وإمام المتقين عليا ولي الله. أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين وإمام المتقين عليا حجة الله. حيا على الصلاة. حيا على الصلاة. حيا على الصلاة. حيا على الصلاة. حيا على خير العمل. حيا على خير العمل. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله.
اللهم اجعل قلبي بارا واستدارا وعيشي قرارا وليسارا وأولادي دارا جعل عند قدر نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم مستقرا قرارا بر محمد وآل محمد صلى الله
عليه وسلم. استغفر الله ربي من جميع ذنوبي وأتوب إليه. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم أكبر. الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين عليا ولي الله. اللهم صل على. أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين عليا حجة الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على خير العمل، حي على خير العمل، أبقامة الصلاة، أبقامة الصلاة، الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، يا محمد رضاك بشرف على عبدك العاصي المتهم، فضل لهنا الله بصيرا بالعباد، الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر، إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سبحان الله، سبحان الله، سبحان الله، سبحان ربي العظيم، وبحمد رب، صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمد. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى، وبحمد ربي، صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى، وبحمد ربي، صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. بحول الله تعالى قوته يقوم ويقعد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. رب اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب. اجزهما بالإحسان إحسانا بالسيئات غفرانا. اللهم صل على صاحب الزمان، اجعلنا من أعوانه وانصاره. الله أكبر. سبحان الله، سبحان الله، سبحان الله، سبحان ربي العظيم، وبحمد رب، صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى، وبحمد رب، صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى، وبحمد رب، صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. الحمد لله كما هو أهله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، وتقبل شفاعته في أمته، ورفع درجته، وقرب وسيلته، بحول الله تعالى قوته يقوم ويقعد. الله أكبر. سبحان الله، سبحان الله، سبحان الله، سبحان ربي العظيم، وبحمد رب، صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى، وبحمد رب، صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. أستغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى، وبحمد رب، صل على محمد وآل محمد. يا لطيف، ارحم عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين. سبوح قدوس ربنا ورب الملائكة والروح. الله أكبر. الحمد لله كما هو أهله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، الله أكبر.
بسم الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا علي يا عظيم، يا غفور يا رحيم، أنت رب العظيم الذي ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. وهذا الشهر عزمته وكرمته وشرفته وفضلته على الشهور، وهو الشهر الذي فرضت صيامه عليه، وهو الشهر رمضان الذي أنزلت فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، وجعلت فيه ليلة القدر وجعلتها خيرا من ألف شهر. فيا ذا المن ولا يمن عليك، منا علي بفكاك رقبتي من النار فيما تمن علي، وادخل الجنة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
السلام عليكم brothers and sisters. A couple of programming reminders and announcements. There's still some slots left for sponsorship of Iftar. There's a list posted out in the lobby. Please come forward and sign up. You can either sign up for an entire day or a portion of that. So please come forward and do that. Also, we need help, volunteers, to clean up after you're done over here and Iftar, and also in the kitchen. And the same note, please make sure that after you're done, you clean up after yourselves and reuse the dishes that that you have, especially for glasses, like, you know, when you drink water and tea. So please try to reuse that as much as possible. Coming up programs, next Sunday, September 6th, we have the Quran recitation and memorization competition. Please sign up for that. There is a link on our website for you to register your sons and daughters, inshallah. So please do that. Also, Sunday school is starting next Sunday, September 6th, and everybody that is, you know, either a returning student or a new student needs to register back again. So the registration starts at 4:15 p.m. on September 6th, and classes during the month of Ramadan will start at 4:45 p.m. And you have seen, noted, we are doing Dua Iftitah before the Salat al-Maghrib, and we'll have the English speech after the Salat. So make a note of that, and the dua starts about 2 hours before the before Maghrib. We start with Quran recitation, followed by dua iftitah, and then after the salat, we'll have the speeches, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
استغفر الله ربي من جميع ذنوبي واتوب اليه. لا حول ولا قوه الا بالله العلي العظيم. الله اكبر، الله اكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين عليا ولي الله أشهد أن أمير المؤمنين عليا حجة الله حي على الصلاح حي على الصلاح حي على الصلاح حي على الصلاح حي على خير العمل حي على خير العمل قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله يا محمد الفاتح المسير صلى الله عليه عبدك العاصي من الجهل فضل له نباها بصيرا بالعباد الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمد رب صل على محمد وآل محمد سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر وبحول الله تعالى قوته أقوم وأقعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد ربنا أفرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا عاملنا بفضلك ولا تعاملنا بعدلك رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اجزهما بالإحسان إحسانا بالسيئات غفرانا اللهم صل على صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أعوانه وانصاره الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إلي الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد الله أكبر الحمد لله كما هو أهله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وتقبل شفاعته في أمته ورفع درجته وقرب وسيلته بحول الله تعالى قوته يقوم ويقعد الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صلى على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صلى على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. بحول الله تعالى قوته يقوم ويقعد. الله أكبر. سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله. سبحان ربي العظيم وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد. الله أكبر. استغفر الله ربي وأتوب إليه. الله أكبر. سبحان ربي الأعلى وبحمد ربي صل على محمد وآل محمد. يا خير المسؤولين ويا خير المعطين ورزقني ورزق عيالي من فضلك إنك ذو الفضل العظيم. سبوح قدوس ربنا ورب الملائكة والروح. الله أكبر. الحمد لله كما هو أهله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله. صلى الله عليك نبي الله. صلى الله عليك أمين الله. صلى الله عليك أمير المؤمنين. صلى الله عليك يا فاطمة الزهراء. صلى الله عليك يا حسنة علي. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت اسمك عليك من الجميع. سلام الله بما بقي وبقي الليل والنهار وأجعله الآخر الأحدين من زيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين رحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك غريب الغرباء. السلام عليك معين الضعفاء الفقراء. السلطان والحسن علي بن مسرد ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا صاحب الزمان. السلام عليك يا خليفة الرحمن. السلام عليك يا شريك القرآن. السلام عليك ركن الإيمان والإسلام. الأمان الأمان من يسلم الزمان. عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله مخرجك الهورة وجعلنا من أعوانك وانصارك ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Assalamu alaikum.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله. السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. May I have your attention please, brothers and sisters? Till we have Maulana among us, inshallah. We'll recite a little Quran, inshallah. And may I request everybody to please stay quiet while we're reciting Quran, inshallah, because it is order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is highly, highly recommended. And it's because of blessing, inshallah. So please stay quiet while we're reciting the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل من نزله روح القدس من ربك بالحق ليثبت الذين آمنوا وهدى وبشرى للمسلمين. قل نزله روح القدس من رب بك بالحق ليثبت الذين آمنوا وهدى وبشرى للمسلمين. ولقد نعلم أن إنهم يقولون إنما يعلمه بشر لسان الذي يلحدون إليه أعجمي وهذا لسان عربي مبين. إن الذين لا يؤمنون بآيات الله لا يهديهم الله ولهم عذاب أليم. إنما يفتر الكذب الذين لا يؤمنون بآيات الله وأولئك هم الكاذبون. من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرح بالكفر صبرا فعليهم غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم. ذلك بأنهم تحبوا الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة ذلك بأنهم استحبوا الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة وأن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين أولئك الذين طبع الله على قلوبهم وسمعهم وأبصارهم وأولئك هم الغافلون صدق الله العلي العظيم الفاتحة
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم Alhamdulillah, we have Sayyid Jafari among us. Alhamdulillah, let's welcome him with salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, salawat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين مبير الظالمين رحمة للعالمين بالقاسم محمد وعلى أهل البيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعن الله وعداهم اجمعين الى يوم الدين اما بعد فقد قال الله وقوله الحق بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا اليه الوسيله وجاهدوا في سبيله لعلكم تفلحون صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد Our discussion, alhamdulillah, has reached its 11th night now. And we have attempted for the past almost 2 weeks now to attempt to create this lifestyle that mirrors Islam. And we began this topic of living an Islamic lifestyle as opposed to being a Muslim. Where we've understood the laws and the regulations and how to follow the deen, but the lifestyle part is left behind. Alhamdulillah, we've discussed many, many different aspects, different dimensions, everything from identifying the shaitan and the nafs and the roadblocks in our way. We've discussed this concept of living a life in the state of intizar of the Mahdi. We discussed this idea of emulating and imitating the life of the Imams and the Ahlul Bayt. And yesterday we dedicated the day to the wife of the Prophet, Bibi Khadija, Salamullah Alayh. From today until Friday, which is my last speech, we'll look at a few more dimensions on this concept of Islamic lifestyle, how to live an Islamic lifestyle in the West. Today, in the time that I have, I want to speak a little bit about the definition of success in Islam. One of the reasons why our youth sometimes don't attract themselves to Islam as a lifestyle is they don't see immediate success in that lifestyle. Where Islam says that your success depends on your level of taqwa, the level of fear you have for Allah, the level of hardships and struggles you do on the path of Allah, this Western world defines success as the amount of zeros in your accounts, the size of your house, the model of your car, the clothes that you wear. And this contradiction is confusing sometimes for our youth. So let us today understand what success is in the eyes of Islam and what it is to be a successful person. Surah Ma'idah, ayat number 35 was the ayat I read for you in the khutbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes three very main ingredients to success. At the end of the ayat he says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. So you could be considered of those who are successful. What are they? Three things. Number one is taqwa. Number two is وَبْتَغُ لَإِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ, to seek nearness to Allah through a wasila. And number three is جَاهِدُ فِي سَبِيلِي, to tread that path of Islam and be a mujahid in that path. Struggle and strive for Allah. Now, let's try to understand a few things here. Number one is this. Inside of mankind, every single human, and we've been talking a lot about the fitrat lately, about the human conscious, this also ties into this discussion. Iksalad hijri Muhammad wa alim Muhammad Tarif. And I ask my parents, if you have brought children with you, you know, look beside you, are they beside you or not? If not, you know, my humble suggestion is that you go find them and bring them to you. My youth who are either in the lobby or sitting on chairs, come in the front here, you might, maybe, learn something. If not, at least, you know, I'll feel like you're listening to me, inshallah. Because the ultimate complaint that we have from our youth is language, language, language. I'm not speaking French up here, nor am I speaking Spanish. I know I have a Canadian accent apparently, but it's English nonetheless. And I hope most of you can understand the words I'm trying to say. I'll try to speak very slowly so my accent doesn't get in the way. But, you know, this is what you wanted. You wanted English, and now English is here, inshallah, so we can benefit from it, inshallah. Inshallah, Jazi Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So we're talking about living an Islamic lifestyle in the West. We've identified many dimensions, alhamdulillah, in 11 days, and we'll continue to do so until Friday, inshallah. Today, however, we look at success in Islam. And every single human being, like I said, at a very human conscious level, we are driven and we are magnetically pulled and we are attracted by unlimitedness. I'll give you an example. When you go to rent a car, let's say, to go to Lake Tahoe, for example, you rent a car, and the first thing we look at is the mileage has to be unlimited. When we look and we buy a data plan for our BlackBerry or for our phone, we look for unlimited minutes, unlimited evenings and weekends. When we sign up for internet service, we want to make sure that we have unlimited megabytes to download. Small examples that teach us that human nature is pulling towards the unlimited. We don't like putting caps on ourselves. We don't like putting limits on ourselves. If you have a very steady and very sturdy job, alhamdulillah, let's say you're the VP of your company, mashallah. And the board group approaches you and says, look, Mr. Muhammad, you've done a wonderful job for us. We've seen you work for 2 or 3 years consistently. We're going to offer you the CEO of this company. And you get so happy, you accept, you sign the paper, mashallah, it's a step up, and you're doing really well for yourself. 2 years later, they come to you again and say, look, we just opened up a branch in Japan, and we want you to be the CEO of that Japan office as well. You say, fantastic, I'm in, no problem. 2 years later, they come to you and say, we just opened up another office in Australia, and we want you to be the CEO. Now you're the CEO of the California-based Japan and Australia. You know for a moment that one office is enough for you. To handle offices across the world is very tough. But do you say no? You don't say no. You have two people in the house, they both drive. You have three cars in the driveway. Someone comes to you, offers a fourth one. And you know it's going to sit there and rot. No one's going to drive it. Do you say no? We don't say no. Someone comes to you and says, look, I'm going to give you a raise for this amount of money. You have a nice six-figure salary, mashallah. You have enough money to last you until retirement and beyond, but they're offering you double that amount. Do you say no? You don't say no. Every step of the way, we don't cap ourselves. We don't limit ourselves. We move towards the unlimited. The problem lies in our definition of the unlimited. And stay with me here for a moment. There are individuals in this society, if you go 7 hours south from here, you hit Hollywood. MashaAllah. In Hollywood, there are individuals who get paid $20 million per film. Those same guys, after doing 10 years of movies, if you do the calculation, that's a lot of money they have. Those same individuals, you'll find that in their hotel rooms, they're face down on the carpet and they're OD'd on drugs. Or you'll find them gambling the money away in casinos. Or you have someone like Michael Vick, who is a football player and one of the best in the world, making $20 million a year, and he has a dog fighting circle. The question is why? Why isn't that amount of money enough? If our definition of success is money and greens and materialistic things, then these individuals who have those materialistic things, why isn't that enough for them? Why do they still feel the need to go to alcohol and go to women and go to drugs and go to casinos? Why is this need inside them not being fulfilled? And the more they pour money in, the deeper they fall into that hole. So what is the solution? The solution is not that you fill that hole with money, with cars, with homes, with positions, with corporations. We understand that yes, no doubt, every single human being is moving towards the unlimited. But what we don't understand is that inner fitri call of ours that is asking us to worship something, worship something, worship something. It's asking us to worship something that's la mahdud, that's unlimited. And that unlimitedness is not the mighty dollar sign. It's not the latest and greatest cars. It's not the biggest homes. That unlimitedness is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why those individuals, they could have nothing in their stomach, nothing on the on their table for food, nothing in their bank. If they have Allah, they have complete itminan in their qalb. Ala bi dhikr Allahi tatma'inna al-qulub, the Quran says. With the zikr of Allah, you have tamanna, you have sukoon, you have itminan in your qalb. The problem is that the definition of success in this part of the world, how they define prosperity, are things that are tangible. Look, today you have it, tomorrow you may not. And the economy right now is a prime example for us. Allah in His infinite mercy places lessons upon lessons for us. Sometimes we have to wipe our eyes and look at those lessons as lessons from Allah. This great society, which is the great capitalistic society, is right now barely surviving. And those individuals who thought they lived a successful life, corporations and monies and billionaires, are now feeling the pinch. And now they realize that, look, I had success yesterday, I'm no longer successful today. Allah is saying, if you come my way, if you come on my path, you can have success tomorrow, you can have success yesterday. This success that I'm offering you will forever remain in your heart. You can have the cars, the homes, the dollars, all you want. Tomorrow it may not be here, but that tamanna, that itminan in the qalb, will forever be there. So let us understand, and to my youth especially, and I mentioned this very briefly on the second day of my speeches, that we're not asking you to live a poverty-filled life. No, this world of dunya is yours. If you do it the halal way, enjoy your life. Have a nice home, have a nice car, live a worry-free life. However, do not deem that as success. And we'll look at what success is according to the Ahlul Bayt. Understand that the life that you live, if you want to be a successful human being, the Quran is saying three things. Taqwa, tawassul, and jihad. Piety, fear for Allah, not caring about what people will say, worry about what Allah will say. Number two is seeking nearness to Allah through a wasilah. That's a whole different topic altogether. Tawassul, shifa'at, all these things. Number three is struggle, strive in the way of Allah. And alhamdulillah, one thing I know for sure, everybody in this center, everybody in this part of the world strives. You work 10-hour days, you fast in this heat, you come to the center. That's doing jihad in Allah's way. Believe me, it is. That's what Allah wants from us. And so we have to very deeply look at, especially my youth in university, colleges, and high school, look at your definition of success. And do not get caught up in this idea that the more zeros that are attached to your account, the more successful you are. Absolutely not. The success that you achieve with Allah is da'imi, it will always be there. But this success here, like the economy has shown us, yesterday it was here, tomorrow it may not be here. Let's keep this in mind, inshallah. Salah bhaji Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One more point about this idea of success, and we'll move on to some examples in history. I talked on the day of the Hajj presentation, and I'll repeat myself because many of you, I don't think we're there. We talked about the two types of ma'rifah, two types of awareness. We're trying to define success here tonight, according to Islam. Why? So you can see that an Islamic lifestyle doesn't lead you towards hardships that many of us might believe. It leads us to a path of success. Whereas this world leads us to an illusionary path. Where, like I said, tomorrow you could be successful, the next day you may not be. Islam has guaranteed success for those who tread its path. That's why I'm trying to hammer this point home to all of you. Ma'rifat is of two types. One is in your zihn, one is in your qalb. One is in your mind, one is in your heart. The example I gave that day, I'll use it again today, is of hunger. Someone comes to you and says, I'm extremely hungry, I'm starving, I've had nothing to eat all day. You say, I have ma'rifat in my zihn, in my mind, about what you're going through. Why? Because I have felt hunger before. There's been a time where I have felt hunger before. But in my qalb, I can't feel that ma'rifat, because right now, as we speak, I cannot feel the pains of hunger that you feel. I just ate 5 minutes ago. I have one ma'rifat in my head where I have felt that pain before, so I know what you're going through. But right now, in my qalb, I can't feel what you feel, because I'm not hungry right now. Our ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sometimes stuck up here. And a lot of times our youth are so confused when they hear about the questions that they'll be asked in the grave. You know that you'll be asked who your Lord is, where your Qibla is, what your book is, who your Rasul is. If you ask these Sunday school students, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, they'll tell you. So they think, what is the big deal? What they don't understand, maybe they don't realize, or maybe they need reminding of, is that Allah won't ask your brain who your Lord is, and what your Qibla is, and what your book is, and who your Rasul is. He'll ask your qalb. He'll ask your wujud. He'll ask your existence. So if you've made the mighty dollar your Lord, believe me, when you're asked who is your Lord, you will say the mighty dollar in your grave. So our ma'rifat has not ascended from our brain to our heart. We know to pray namaz. Alhamdulillah, we're not at that level where we have to sit here and say, we're praying namaz, brothers, be of the namazis, mashallah. No. What I'm asking us to do, and I'm with you on this, is take this basic ma'rifat of Allah, where you recognize Him to be a ma'bud, to worship 5 times a day, and instead of just praying for Him and praying to Him, I want us to taste Allah. I want us to have ma'rifat in the heart, where we feel Allah, we see Allah, we hear Allah. It's on our lips, it's on our tongue, He's in our hearts. That's the ma'rifat that we want, that's the success that we want. And that's the level of worship that I want for all of us. A center like this is very successful. For a speaker to come up here and say, oh, do your best to establish 5 times of prayer, is an insult to all of you. You know, it's like all of you at a very collegiate level, and I'm coming here talking to you about elementary stuff. Why would I do that? I know enough about all of you to know that we're past that intermediate stage. We're past the elementary stage. Let's move on. Let's graduate now. And instead of praying namaz just for praying namaz so it becomes a mi'raj for you. So you ascend towards Allah. For those brief 10 minutes that you're on the musalla, for those brief 10 minutes that you're facing Qibla, for those 10 minutes, not only are you praying to Allah, but you taste Allah. And that's what we want. That's what success is. And that's one thing this society will never take away from you. Jangi Sifin. Mawla Ali is on one side, Mu'adiyah is on the other side. Let's look at what success is according to Islam. You know, Mu'adiyah was a very smart politician. He was what they call a tactician. He was a lot more smart than his son was. His son Yazid was a person who was based on emotion. However, Mu'adiyah was very tactful. He knew that Jangi Sifin was a jung that he's going to lose, a war he's going to lose. And so in his propaganda, the books tell us that he attached Qur'ans to spears and attempted to elevate these Qur'ans in the air. To show an outsider maybe, or to confuse the army of Mawla Ali, to think, who are we fighting against? Are we fighting against the Qur'an? And people fell for that trap, and they approached Mawla Ali. And said, Ya Mawla, on one side you have yourself, the son-in-law, the cousin, the wali of Rasulullah Khuda. On that side we see Qur'ans. Who are we fighting against? What are we fighting here? Mawla Ali, in his very beautiful, beautiful way, he says, look, if you can recognize Haq and Batil, you know what's happening here. You know what side we're on. The definition of success, one of them, is this concept of understanding what is right and what is wrong. Because one of Shaitan's beautiful tactics, not beautiful, but very intelligent tactics, is this concept that he wraps up his pleasure in a very sweet bow. And we think for a moment that, oh, this must be good for me, it just feels good. And Shaitan dangles that carrot in front of us and lures us towards him, and we think, oh my God, you know what, this has to be right. We haven't identified Haq and Batil. That's why we have countless riwayats that before the zuhur of the Imam, there'll be fake Mahdis and fake Imams. And we have them right now. We have individuals who claim to be the 12th Imam. And we'll continue to have those individuals who will come out and proclaim that I am the Mahdi. We have to then resort to our ma'rifat of the Imam, our awareness of the deen, our awareness of Haq and Batil, and understand that this cannot be my Imam, thus he's still a ghaybat. So one thing we have to understand, and one thing that our Imams and Ahlul Bayt fought for day in and day out was Haq. Haq, truth, justice, adalat, everything. I've been trying to pound home for the past week or so is the concept of justice. To understand why Imam Hussein did not come out and say, me, Hussein ibn Ali, cannot give bay'at to you, Yazid ibn Mu'awiyah. He didn't say that. Nowhere in any books do we find that. Instead, he very purposely selected his words and saying that someone like me, mithli, someone like me, can never give bay'at to someone like you. Identifying you as the Hussein of your time and the Yazid of your time is one ingredient of success. But sometimes we get lost in that shuffle. We have no idea who the Yazid is. We have no idea who Hussein is. And this shuffle is causing great confusion. So success in Islam is not by any means what this society will make you believe that success is. Because that success is maybe here, it won't be there tomorrow. So what I want all of us to understand very carefully is that this path that we lead, this Islamic life that we live, and this goal that we have set since the first day of Ramadan, to live an Islamic life in the West, includes a conclusion and a destination of success. I mentioned two nights ago about death, about the afterlife. We had a discussion on that as well. For those of you who were there, you recall that. And I said that one of the secrets of any plan and any goal setting is to begin with the end in mind. Always have your destination in the back of your head to know where you're going to end up. We know that every soul will taste death. We know every soul will go through what everyone else went through after life. And so now we have two choices. We can either react when it comes about, or we can be proactive and begin to plan for the next life. The idea here that this life of ours, this path of ours, includes a successful path. It's Allah Hajj Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Everything in religion has elevations. Everything has levels. And I mentioned to you that the ayat that was the base of this speech was from Surah Ma'idah, ayat number 35. The three ingredients, we talked about two of them at least. And that being taqwa of Allah, We talked about Khutbah Hammam and Nahj al-Balagha. And we talked a little bit about this idea of doing jihad in the path of Allah, where we fight our own self, our own nafs, our own shaitan built inside of us. The middle ingredient of success is this idea of seeking nearness to Allah through a wasila. And this brings me to the point, and I'll wrap up in about 10 minutes, this brings me to a point here where I want our youth to understand this concept of tawassul. Because you know, one of the biggest labels that we have on the Shia school of thought is that we place the imams in the Ahl al-Bayt. Thank you very much. We place the imams and the Ahl al-Bayt at a level of Allah. When we don't ask Allah for anything, we ask the imams directly. It's a very large topic. It requires immense amount of detail. In the 10 minutes that I have, I want to make sure that we leave here with a little bit of a bunyad so we can build on that on our own. The example I'll give you is very simple. We're in school, for example, and the entire semester, we have this one course of ours that's extremely difficult for us. And come exam time, according to your calculation, you have to score, let's say, a 61 on the exam to pass the course. Now, all throughout the semester, you've been trying extremely hard to understand the material. You've attended classes, you've done the homework, you've approached the teacher, you've done the extra work, you've put forth the effort. You write the exam, you come out of the exam, the teacher calls you and says, look, you got a 60 on your final exam. One mark off. Now if you ask the teacher, look teacher, look professor, look prof, you've seen me all semester struggle and work hard. One mark, just one mark. Are you able to kind of push me through? And he stops and thinks, okay, this person put forth the effort. I see him come to class. I saw him do the homework. I saw him ask me a few questions. And so in his mercy and his kindness, he gives you the 61 and you pass through the course. That's one scenario. Second scenario is the exact same course, exact same scenario. 61 you need on the exam to pass the course. You get a 35. And you don't come to class, you don't do any homework, you don't call the teacher, nothing. Now when he calls you and says you got a 35, at this moment if you were to say, come on, prof, you know, an extra 25 marks won't kill you. At that moment, the prophet would laugh at you and say, on what proof do you have that I should give you those extra 25 marks? Fine, if you had a bad day on your exam, fine, but you didn't come to class. You didn't even do the homework. You never called me for any assistance. You never came to labs, tutorials, nothing. You never showed any effort during the semester, and now you want a passing grade? Doesn't work that way. On the Day of Judgment, when we beg Allah, and we beg the prophets and the Ahlul Bayt, for shifa'at and intercession, they'll either say, look, you attend the class, you did your homework, you prayed your salat, you were close to me, you did your best to understand Islam, you're good to your family, you're good to your community, you treated those guests who come from Toronto very well. I mean, sorry. All these things you did, and now a little bit of your amal went this way or that way, you know what, inshallah, in Allah's mercy, in the Prophet's mercy, they'll add a few salawats to your amal al-deed, and you'll move on your way, inshallah. Now, there comes number two. All of a sudden, you know, we have a hadith that says, man is sleeping, when he dies, he wakes up. Now you have a man who has no sort of connection to the deen whatsoever. No connection at all. Not on the outside, not on the inside. In Pakistan, in Iran, in India, in Lebanon, in Iraq, mashallah, he was very good. He belonged to a very humble, very religious family. Everything was fantastic. He comes here, he says, ooh, this is freedom, man. This is where it's at. Brings out the razor. The first thing that goes is the beard. He's, you know, shears off the beard, whips off the hijab. Everything is just Western. I'm American now. I'm not Iranian, I'm not Pakistani, I'm not Hindi, I'm not, none of that stuff. No connection to deen whatsoever. No namaz, no Ramadan. He shows up on day of Ashura in Sabah Center and that's it. He passes away. Now comes Hisab and Kitab, accountability. He says, come on, Prophet of Allah. Come on. You know I meant well. Just get me through. And do you think that the Prophet of Allah for a moment would think, yes, this person is worthy of my intercession? So a number of things that our individuals in our faith don't understand. That the first thing is you have to be worthy of intercession. You have to show effort and mehnat in this world to even have hopes of the next world. We believe for a moment that we shed a few tears for Imam Hussein in the month of Muharram, but all throughout the year, his entire mission was on one side, our life is on the other, and we think for a moment that heaven is ours. It's not that simple. That's why Mawla Ali says, if you're going to sell your nafs, sell it for a value higher than heaven. Because that's exactly what you're selling. You're selling heaven right now. So let's try to understand for a moment that this concept of relying on intercession, relying on shifa'at, having this idea of dua at the wasul on Tuesday nights, this concept of not only the imams, our parents can do shifa'at, the Qur'an can do shifa'at, we have what's called mujassim a'mal in our books. That our a'mal, some of them will come in the form of a jism, of an actual body. We have an a'mal in the month of Rajab called a'mal Ummi Dawood. On the 15th of Rajab, we have this beautiful a'mal. And one of the specialties of this a'mal is this concept where this amal will come to you in your grave as a very beautiful nurani face. And in that darkness of darkness, when you look at that face, you ask yourself, who are you? You'll say, I am that amal Ummi Dawood that you performed on this falan year at this falan place. So we have this concept where our deeds will come to us, inshallah, and will intercede on our behalf. I mentioned that yesterday. That one of the things that our women and our mothers and our wives have in terms of their intercession is the idea of their husbands being somebody who is happy with them, content with them. And that's one of the things that we have in terms of our books. Is the concept of intercession is just that. You're interceding on our behalf. And the same way in this world. It's funny how when it comes to the deen, we throw all the examples out the window. If you're looking for a job, my brothers and my sisters, a very simple example. You're looking for a job in a certain company, and you come to find out that your cousin knows the CEO of that company. Or your cousin knows the head of HR in that company. What would you do? You call up your cousin and say, look, here's my resume. Go do your thing. Get me a job. And he comes to the CEO and says, look, my cousin's a good guy. Hire him. He's interceding on your behalf. That's okay to accept. But to accept the fact that our prophets and our Ahlul Bayt who have come as divine guidance for us, to help us on the Day of Judgment, that's a far-fetched notion. That's something that they cannot accept. For the Qur'an to come and say, I am the Qur'an that you used to read every night before going to bed, I am here to guide you. That concept for many of us, we don't get it. But, the condition is what? The condition is that you have to come to class, do your homework, attend tutorials, look like you want to pass the course, look like you want to go to heaven, look like you want to accept Islam. And then if you're a little bit this way or that way, then we ask Allah, please, give permission to the Prophet of Allah, give permission to Imam Hussein to intercede on my behalf and outweigh the scale towards good, inshallah. But let's think about it logically for a second. Non-Shias, non-Muslims don't accept this concept. Or maybe a very few do. But we have to defend that concept first inside of us. But not this misconceived notion that live your life how you want to live your life. Inshallah, Imam Hussein will take your tears and will lead you to heaven. I'm sorry, brother. I don't mean to burst your bubble. That's not the case at all. Yes, we have hadiths that say that those who cry for Imam Hussein, they'll taste heaven. Provided you do all this as well. Otherwise, the problem that we have with a certain sect of Christianity is just that. They believe that live your life how you want to live your life. Come the Day of Judgment, Jesus Christ will stand in front of you, take the hit for the sins that you did, purify yourself, and you're going to heaven. That whole concept is unjust in our eyes. We don't accept that to be Allah's justice. They say in this study, if I did the crime, I do the time. It's me. It's only fair that because it was my body and my soul that walked to that haram place and did that haram act, it's this body and this soul that get punished. Why should the Prophet of Allah get punished for my bad deeds? So this concept, let's be careful. Let's not think for a moment that Imam Hussein, Mawla Ali, Imam Zamana, these are all there so we can have an easy akhirat. They're there to guide us. If we clutch the rope of their guidance, our akhirat will be easy, inshallah. Provided the mahnat comes from us, inshallah. InshaAllah, Abhiyaji Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So just to recap very quickly and then we'll end off. Let's try to understand that one of the factors in living an Islamic life in the West is this idea that understand this path leads towards success. And success to a point where you are completely at contentment and complete sukoon, complete itminan, as they say in the Quran, inside of your heart. And we do that how? By understanding, number one, that ma'arifat of Allah is from the heart, not just from the mind. To a point where if an atheist approaches you and challenges you on your belief in God, you should be deep enough in your faith to defend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not just say, I believe in Allah because my parents told me to believe in Allah. That's not what Islam will accept. So success in this society is one face. Success in Islam is the other. You can have success in this world, have your homes, have your cars, absolutely. You do it the halal way, bismillah. But do not think for a moment that Islam deems that as success. The pious ones are successful. Whether they have food on their table, money in their account, or clothes on their back, it doesn't matter. And on their face, you'll see complete itminan, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this qaleel ibadat, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ma'arifat qalbi of who you are, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the month of Ramadan is slowly approaching the midway point. Ya Allah, do not deprive us of your blessings in this month, inshallah. And oh Allah, there's so much injustice and tyranny in the world. The only solution I see, that we see, is the coming of your 12th Imam. Ya Allah, please hasten the repentance of our 12th Imam, inshallah. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا رسول الله السلام عليكم يا أمير المؤمنين السلام عليكم يا فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليكم يا حسن المصطفى السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام عليكم يا غريب الغرباء فطالب الحسن يا علي بن موسى رضاكم شفينا وشفي والدينا في يوم الجزاء ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام عليكم يا صاحب العصر والزمان السلام عليكم يا شريك القرآن السلام عليكم يا إمام الإنس والجان عجل الله تعالى فرجه السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay, inshallah. I'm here all week. Thank you.